Okay, let's open our Bibles to start this morning. Romans 5 and Galatians 5. Romans 5 and Galatians 5. I think we'll start with prayer before we start reading here. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning once again now to open thy book. This is thy book, Lord. It's your words, and these are your promises. You uphold the worlds by the power of this word. And so, Father, we come to you knowing that you're infinitely wiser than we are. We do appreciate you coming down our way, not only dying for our sins through Christ, we sure appreciate you giving us information that we need. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. We pray you'd help us to do all that we can to fulfill all that we can of obedience and in sanctifying ourselves unto thee. Lord, we pray you'll help us this morning. If there's somebody here lost, please deal with their hearts about their need for salvation. But otherwise, Lord, we're Christians here, but we still need plenty of admonishment. We need victory in this life, and I pray you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 5. Go down to verse 20. Of course, this is the end of a chapter, a long chapter at that. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now that verse, those two verses, gives you God's unusual motive, I guess, at least by our standards, of giving the law. He said that he gave the law that the offense, that is sin, might abound, that in time, through Christ at Calvary, that grace might much more abound. But before grace abounded, sin had to abound, so God had to give the law first. But it's grace now wherein we stand. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? So it works good. We stand in grace. Look at Galatians 5. And speaking of standing, notice verse 1. This is similar to what we just read. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And again, as relating to the law, whereas in Romans 5, grace is where we stand. Here, plainly, liberty is where we stand with relation to the law as Christians. Is that right? Yes, it is. Thank you. So, it says, "Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." So in grace and in liberty, we have something that no Old Testament priest, not even the high priest in the Old Testament, had. We have grace, we have liberty, and therefore, we're not bound by the law the same way they were. Therefore, it's understandable that a Christian would be, I hope, captivated by the idea of grace and liberty. I mean, it's nice to be set free. It's nice to not have prison bars around us. It's nice to not be bound down and yoked down and imprisoned by law when we now have grace and liberty. So praise God for that. Yet, having said that, there is a cautionary word. Go down to verse 13, Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And he says there, you can, if you're not careful, you can wind up letting your liberty become an occasion to the flesh. In other words, I guess you could say it's kind of a rubber band effect where being under law for so long, suddenly you're given grace and liberty. And now it's easy to rubber band to the other end of things and go wrong by taking too much liberty in something you shouldn't. So, that all said, for 2,000 years now, Bible-believing Christians have realized that we live in a place of grace and liberty like no place ever before us before. The Old Testament folks under law did not enjoy the privileges that we have. And that's a grand thing, but there is a inherent and a very real danger in that. I'll give you a for instance here. In the Old Testament, if you were a Levite, or even not a Levite, carelessness could get you dead pretty quick. I noticed that Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons, wound up taking great liberties as an occasion to the flesh, and it got them killed. Remember Nadab and Abihu that offered their strange fire? The Lord killed them on the spot, would not put up with it. There are other occasions where that sort of thing happened. Remember Uzzah just reached up, put his hand on the ark to steady the ark. It's not to be done. And he was killed instantly. Now, my point in saying all that, folks, is that even under law, these guys that lived in the very shadow of the pillar of fire and cloud in the wilderness, these guys that had seen the terrible judgments of God upon the Egyptians and other folks that rebelled and revolted against God, even those guys, having seen that firsthand in their lifetimes, sometimes got a little careless. So, how much more careless is it likely that you might be tempted to be, being that you have not lived under the shadow of those terrible judgments? You've lived in liberty and grace for your entire saved life. And yet holy things are still holy, correct? So having thought some about that, please understand that I'm not advocating formalism. I'm not trying to go back to a ritual legalism or anything like that. Let's not go back to dead orthodoxy. We'll leave the priestly vestments in the closet. How about that? Let's make sure and not bring out the candles yet or anything like that. You can wear your denim to church, and if you want to have an open collar, gentlemen, you don't have to have a choker on necessarily to come to church. I'm glad for that. But having said that, there is a danger. And I want to talk to you this morning about, on the subject, too casual. Now, I'm not saying I think you are. I'm saying that the fact is, there is in Christianity now a Christianity that emphasizes, really overemphasizes at times, grace and liberty. There is a dismissive air to Christianity. There is a cavalier way that people kind of tend to go about dealing with God's holy things these days. Sometimes it's just downright too casual. Now, maybe you're not. Maybe you have a better sense of it than the average mainstream Christian. After all, you get preached at a lot here. The Bible is shoved down your throat all the time. So maybe you have a more real sense of these things, and maybe you're guarded more than some. But I assure you that in the average Christian church mainstream today, there is a casualness, a dismissiveness of holy things, a cavalier attitude that's entered in that is dangerous and it's not good at all. Again, we can be informal without being vulgar and without profaning God's things. Again, I have no problem with denim in church. I'm sure there have been times in the past, maybe even places now, where denim in church should be out. And if a guy has an open collar, it's a terrible thing. Look, we have folks that come from work and their work uniforms, they're kind of grungy. I'd rather have you here grungy than not at all. So I assure you, I'm not trying to move us back towards a more ritual formalism or anything like that. But at the same time, you do live in a day where grace and liberty have become lasciviousness and license through an over-casualness and a dismissiveness of holy things, and kind of, a cavalier attitude about some things. So let me talk to you for a little while about too casual. And I'm not saying you are. I'm saying you should be on guard to not be too casual. I am not speaking or preaching against grace or liberty this morning. I'm preaching and speaking to a bunch of folks that have been entrusted with holy things, and those things should truly remain holy to you. I'm talking this morning about a heartfelt attitude of reverence and fear before God that casualness and informality can't touch. Let me say to begin that many, and again, I don't accuse you. If it applies, take it and do something with it. But many have become too casual in matters of salvation. I have no intent to complicate salvation for anybody, anywhere, anytime. It's not complicated. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's simple to be saved. I have even avoided allowing myself to, how do I phrase this, to make salvation in my mind a point-by-point process. You know, you can pick up some tracts, and we probably have some back there that say it, where it's a three-point process by which you get saved. You realize, you repent, you receive. And that's fine. Problem is, on some of the tracts, it's a four-point process or a five-point process, basically saying the same thing. But I've kind of resisted the idea of even allowing myself to be herded into saying, well, it's a three-point process or a four-point process, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, right? Now, that said, I will say this, even in belief, even in faith, folks have become over-casual in believing. I have a verse in James chapter 2 that says that if you believe in God, you do well, but that the devils believe and tremble. I have a verse by Paul that says it's possible that you have believed in vain. And as the darkening hours of the church age get darker and darker, folks continue to get less and less careful, more and more casual, more and more cavalier, I think, about accepting what somebody believes as being legitimate when sometimes they are not legitimate. We are very casual today about what is believed. Now, hopefully we are not, but Mormons now for quite some time have been called Christians. They are not Christians. They believe, for instance, among many other weird things, that Jesus Christ was Satan's brother. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus Christ was a created God and that there is no hell. And some would give them a pass on that and say, well, yeah, well, they're Christians. No, they're not. They've become too casual in believing. Lutherans and Catholics commonly believe that the starting point for the Christian life is when the baby gets baptized, and that's the first thing that gets them going. And then some of them even believe that later on they have to do more and so on and so forth, but that the starting point is that baby, that infant baptism. It is not. It is not. Calvinists, some Calvinists say, well, you know, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, He isn't Lord at all. Well, now, frankly, that's not true. Just not true. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, my point is, in matters of salvation, folks have become pretty cavalier. Nowadays, lots of folks are counted as Christians that are not. You can be really casual today in dealing with sin, with judgment, with hell, repentance. Billy Graham says he's not so sure that there's fire in hell anymore. Listen, brother, you need to believe there's fire in hell. You do. The reason it's easy to give folks a pass on that is because those things are offensive to folks' sensibilities. When you ask somebody about hell, folks don't want to talk about hell. folks don't want to talk personally about their own personal sins very much. When I go up and knock a stranger's door to ask him if he's saved, well, I don't blame him in some ways. I guess I should say I expect, humanly speaking, that he's not too interested in divulging his sins to me. Nonetheless, it's his sins that are sending him to hell. Now listen, folks, it's really easy to give folks a pass and to not press them hard on sin, to not press them hard about a judgment that's coming, to not press them hard about a hell that burns hot at this hour. It's really easy to just give them a pass, but that's too casual. And nowadays you can go join churches and they won't even ask you first if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian. Join their church and that's a process and part of becoming a Christian. And that's not true. Become too cavalier. Become too casual. You know, some folks are scrupulously, zealously careful about making sure that everything is lined up perfectly with regard to their life insurance. Because they want their wife or their husband and their kids to make sure that everything's in a line so that that all works out if they do pass on. Some folks are scrupulously careful about health insurance and making sure all the ducks are lined up for when that day that some major thing happens and they would call you the biggest fool in the world to not have all those ducks lined up. Boy, when it comes to will, some folks are careless, I'll grant you, but some folks, you know, they keep it updated year by year because they want to make sure that their kids get what they're supposed to get. And there's some justice in that. That's a good thing in some respects, but for all the carefulness in some of those things, your soul is the most infinitely precious thing that you have. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And people are really casual about their soul sometimes. Now, hopefully you're not, but folks are really, really casual. I mean, the fact that you believe something strongly and sincerely, well, that's enough. The fact that you call yourself a Christian, well, that's enough. It's not enough. Nowadays, Christianity is far too casual about matters of salvation. Now, as far as I can see, the easiest way to cut through all that is to corner somebody, and I'm sorry that it has to be done. But, look, you have to be converted sometime. You have to be converted to Jesus Christ out of whatever you were before. You say, well, I wasn't a religion before. Yeah, but you were a heathen before. You were lost. You were a devil's child, the devil's child before. You've got to be converted. There's an hour, there's a time. Listen, when you walk out of your house in 25 below weather, if your car didn't start, you weren't going anywhere. Because you had to turn the key, the car had to start, and there had to be a conversion of energy in that car so that the energy stored in that fuel fired to move the pistons and all those things. And by the way, if you hadn't taken care of your transmission, you may well have put the transmission in reverse and not gone anywhere. Because if there's no conversion of energy from the engine back into the transmission, the car might as well not run at all. Because you're not going anywhere. Listen, Jesus Christ said Simon Peter still needed to be converted. All the way late in Luke 22. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when were you converted to Jesus? When did old things pass away and all things become new? When and how were you born again? Nowadays, it's gotten to where you can ask somebody if they've been born again. Oh, yeah. Well, they meant that they've been born again at baptism or born again when they were confirmed. And it's not true. They're too cavalier. They're too casual. about salvation. I'll give you another thing. Look at Leviticus chapter 10, would you? Leviticus chapter 10. Folks are too casual about salvation. Maybe you're not. I hope you're not. But one of the earmarks of Christianity today is that they are. Now, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, excuse me, I got the hacks this morning, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu should have known better. They were the sons of the great high priest. And they offered strange fire. They built the fire instead of bringing the fire in from off the altar. And they died on the spot. Now, folks, these guys were too casual in matters of sanctified things. They were too casual in things that God considered holy, that God would not dismiss. But they kind of dismissed it. It eased in on them so that they were no longer alarmed by their trespass. They lived in the very shadow of the pillar of fire and cloud. They had seen some of the judgments on the children of Egypt. They had seen some of the judgments in the wilderness upon some of the children of Israel. They had seen those things. And yet, even they had grown too casual in this thing. Now, if they could grow too casual, how much is the danger for you that you might, having lived for your lifetime, for the most part, in grace and in liberty? See, these guys were too casual in matters of sanctified things. You know what? They were probably zealous. Well, they were zealous. They were probably sincere. I can't see that there was necessarily any meanness intended here. These are not teenage boys trying to put firecrackers in the tabernacle. They just built strange fire. They just had to have a fire to burn the incense, and they didn't go get it off the altar. And the Lord killed them for it because they were too casual. You know, Esau learned that his birthright meant far more to God than it meant to himself. Esau was too casual. He was too casual in that he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. We're talking about beans and lentils. We're talking about cabbage, pottage. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Way too casual, because God thought way more highly of Esau's birthright than Esau did. Didn't cost him his life. That's good. But boy, it cost him in sorrow. Boy, it cost him in regret. You see, he was too casual in matters of sanctified things. Here's David. And David, with the best of intention, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, sincere as a man can be, takes the ark to bring it to the tabernacle, puts it on a new cart, and in making that decision, the way he made that decision, wound up getting a man killed. Because he was too casual in the decision he made. And that how that ark was carried was a wholly sanctified thing before God. But David let down his guard and became too casual about how the ark was to be transported. And along the way, one of the men in service named Uzzah, who reached up to steady the ark when the thing was rocking and rolling, going to perhaps turn over. And again, no meanness intended. There was no underhanded thought of doing anything to mess up the ark. He was just trying to save it. It was going to tip over on the ground. But the problem was laid in a bad decision to start with, so he laid his hand on it, and the Lord smote him on the spot. He was too casual. Here is King, that was Uzzah. Now this is King Uzziah, thought highly of by God, complimented as a man, as a king,
by the Lord, decided one morning that he should be able to go in and offer incense himself as king and not as priest. Wound up walking out of the tabernacle, the temple, rather, a leper till the day he died, had to rule from his bedroom through his son. Never came out in public again. You see, he was too casual in dealing with sanctified things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you've never thought of your decisions being sanctified things, but the decision David made on moving the cart, it should have been a more sanctified decision because it cost him. And he was far too casual. He was far too cavalier in the arrangements that he made to have that cart transported. Here is Uzzah, and he's serving God. Here is King Uzziah. He wants to serve God. Here's Nadab and Abihu, and they're serving God. And none of them are trying to do anything mean. None of them are trying to tear up anything. But they were just too casual in what they did. And those things meant more to God than they did to them. And so in their cavalier attitude, it cost them their lives. Now, I'm not going to threaten you necessarily with your life. I don't know that some of these things still hold, but I'll tell you this. In the day we live in, the church, hopefully not our church, but the church, God's people, are really casual with the Word of God. The perfect words of God are routinely criticized. They're routinely disbelieved. They're routinely rebelled against. They are routinely changed. Listen, you are not welcome to go into my book and change the words. Now, if you bought the copy, you can write what you want to in there. But as far as the copyright's concerned, you are not welcome to change the words. And by the way, you are not welcome to change God's words either. It is the epitome of forwardness and frowardness to do so. You cannot be that casual. And folks are very, very casual. There's a ton of things we can name that, you know, I can't do it for time's sake here this morning, but boy, the way folks treat church these days and how churches have grown to have their visions now. You know, the church is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Not a bingo parlor. Not a rock concert. Not a theatrical stage. Not a place where folks go to... Not a meat market. Not a dating service. It's supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. So why isn't it in the main anymore? I'll tell you why. Because folks are cavalier about some things. And those things may not cost them their lives, though it may cost them any rewards they might have ever gotten at the judgment seat of Christ. But the fact is, they're too casual about it, and I hope you're not. I hope you're not, because sanctified things and holy things before God are still sanctified and holy, even if He's not striking people dead on the spot when they touch something. There's another thing I'd like to point out to you. I'd like to say that, first of all, men have become too casual with matters of salvation. They become far too casual in sanctified things. And I'll tell you what this is, then give you some examples. Men have become too casual. Christians have become too casual in matters of personal righteousness and holiness. Here, for instance, you have a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He commits adultery with his father's wife. And he's put out of the church, turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Here you have in Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they stand, they both sequentially lie to the Holy Ghost about how much money they're going to give from some land they sold. They had conspired together to lie about it
The Lord found them out separately in sequence, killed them all on the spot, them both separately in sequence. Now, I'm not here to threaten you with your life. It's not my business how God treats His children. I'm here to tell you this morning that those folks were too casual about their sins. The one guy is casual about adultery. The other two are casual about what they're saying in their hearts to the Holy Ghost. Too casual. The Lord demonstrated they were too casual in matters of personal righteousness and holiness. Here in Exodus 2, Moses kills an Egyptian ill-advisedly. It costs him 40 years. Then Moses goes out into the wilderness and gets a chance to smite the rock once and water comes out. So the Lord says, goes back the second time. He says, listen, this time speak to the rock. Don't smite it, speak to it. He smote it again. Why? Because he was angry. Moses had an anger management problem. He didn't need a class. He just needed to get right. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that smiting that rock the second time cost Moses a trip into the Holy Land. He never got to set foot. He got to see it from Mount Pisgah, but as far as setting foot in there and getting to put his foot on that promised land, he was not able to do so. He was too casual about matters of personal righteousness and matters of personal holiness. Here is Josiah, King Josiah, the leader of one of the greatest revivals in the Bible, and a man much admired by me. In the end of his life, he went out ill-advisedly to stand against Pharaoh Necho when the Lord didn't tell him to go. He was too casual in approaching battle, and he died in that battle. One of the finest kings that Judah ever had died in a battle. When he ill-advisedly went out, he was too casual in going to battle. In the wilderness, the children of Israel murmured and complained and rebelled and revolted. And many of them died extraordinary theatrical dramatic deaths because of it. And I'm not saying that you shall. I'm saying that I bet you are just as casual about some things as they were. And they died for it. And you haven't. And thank God for it. I'm not trying to get rid of any of you. I'm trying to warn you against a cavalier attitude of certain things of salvation, of sanctified things, and of matters of personal righteousness and holiness. Listen, folks, you've now come to a day. Christians commonly live together. That was a terrible mark against lost people 50 years ago. Now the Christians are living together. They become too casual. They murmur, they rebel, they openly dismiss or disobey God. They drink. Even a lost guy 50 years ago knows that he shouldn't drink. And nowadays, so-called sanctified Christians think that it's perfectly fine to drink. They are not careful with their entertainment. They are quick to adopt the new music, which is nothing but old-fashioned rock and roll. What your parents and mine, your grandparents anyway and mine, if they were Christians, what they viewed with music, when they considered that folks like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles were a scourge on society because of the music they were bringing in, well, nowadays, folks in Christian settings are listening to far, far worse. Here, I was a couple of years ago now, but a well-known celebrity Christian slash teacher, whatever, I think he was speaking at a Promise Keepers thing or whatever, and rides in a black leather jacket, which is fine, in on his Harley into the arena, on his Harley, to the theme of Born to be Wild. And the setting was Christian.
Now, I don't want the guy to go to hell. As far as I know, he's not. He's saved. I'm glad for it. All those sort of things. I'm telling you this. That's too casual. That's way too cavalier about some things. And you personally are going to have to deal with some things in your own lives. I don't secretly know a lot of stuff about any of you. I just know this. You think drinking and smoking and fornicating and living like the devil and thinking like the devil and entertaining yourself on the devil's stuff is okay? It's not okay! And the fact that you think it's okay proves something. You're too cavalier. You are. Now, if you're not doing it, praise the Lord if you're not. Thank God for it. I'm not going to threaten you with your life. I'm not going to kill you, that's for sure. But just don't be cavalier. There's just a couple other things. Look in 1 Kings 18, would you? 1 Kings 18. Here's Elijah on Mount Carmel. And has a showdown going with these prophets of Baal and prophets of the groves. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24, the challenge is pitched out, "Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Well, they start their worship service first. Elijah follows. So they're praying in verse 26, "O Baal, hear us," and going on, and nothing happens. So in verse 27, Elijah mocks them. Not a very godly thing to do, by the way. Verse 28, "And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them." I mean, they went all the way in this thing. And that's all fine. You know, the way that somebody worships God has always been a point of contention at various times. Through church history, there are those that have built their worship services around sacramental ritual. Others have built it around dead orthodoxy where absolutely nothing's going on, but all the candles are lit and everything is perfectly in its place and nothing goes on in service, but it's all very quiet and somber. There are those that have claimed that they worship God just as well in a fishing boat or in a tree stand as they do anywhere else. And I'm, help yourself. There are those that claim that they worship far better in front of a TV set than anywhere else. And if that's true, well, help yourself. There are certainly many new innovative styles these days. In fact, we hear all the time if you get the slick magazines and brochures that I get that They are now inventing new styles of innovative worship. I just want to say that these guys were innovative in their day. I mean, dancing around naked and cutting yourselves with lancets and scourging yourself and bleeding out, well, that's pretty innovative. That would catch somebody's attention. There was something missing, though, from their worship. Now, they missed their heads later. Their worship got them killed. I didn't do it, but they didn't get fire from heaven. There was no power of God. Oh, it was exciting. Oh, everybody was riveted. Look at the blood flow from that guy. He must have lost a quart of blood by now. I mean, it was riveting. It was theatrical. It was dramatic. But nothing happened in service. Fire didn't fall, and there was no power. Now, folks, modern worship can be emotionally moving. It can be theatrically thrilling. It can excite the senses and passions. We were had the occasion yesterday of being at the Blazer basketball tournament. Joseph had a game yesterday afternoon, so we had to be there early and do some stuff, so of course, I'm trying to get ready for a preaching today. And it's down at North Heights Lutheran. And so the game before Joseph's game, I tried to pull a disappearing act and go find a quiet corner. The place is huge, so I was far from the gym. Had found kind of a nice little cove last year that I got to sit down and do a little work in. Well, I went to go find my cove this year, only it wasn't quiet. I walked down the hall, and man, they had a rock concert going in the auditorium. It's about 18 times as big as this one with theater seats and everything. It's going like crazy. I had to stick my head in just to see. Stuck my head in. They have a full orchestra, a full choir going at it. I mean, they're all dancing around everything. And there were two angels hanging at least 30 feet above the floor, these two ladies in these flowing gowns on wires. They were angels. And they were rocking out, baby. I sat down there for an hour trying to work on this sermon this morning, and all I got was an illustration. This illustration right here. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, there comes a point in time where it's too casual. It's way too casual. Matters of worship. A rock and roll band dancing around like a bunch of ninnies. It's like a high school prom night instead of church. What's wrong? You're too casual. You're way too cavalier about things. You realize that in matters of worship, you can waste your time. You realize the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15 that in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. You realize that in John chapter 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Oh, they got that down, they think. But the last two words, in truth. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And rock and roll ain't the truth. And hanging women from ceilings is not the truth either. But whatever. Anyway, that's all I got done down there in the noisy part of the church yesterday. I have one last thing for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We were just there this morning in Sunday school. I know that. Folks are too casual in salvation. They've grown too casual in sanctified things. They've grown far too casual in personal righteousness and holiness. I'm talking about Christians now. They've become far too casual in matters of worship. They don't worship in truth. They don't worship from the Bible. They bring in all these innovative things, and it's all theatrical and passionate and emotional and thrilling, and it puts on a good show. But the fire never falls. Where's the power? Look at one other thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Go down to verse 29, where it says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily," talking about the communion, "eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Did you know that folks have become really cavalier with doctrine? Not just the things they believe about salvation, but the things they believe about the Bible. Here in this passage, he says that somebody can get himself in major trouble partaking of simple bread and simple grape juice if he does not discern the Lord's body. And I explained this morning that the Lord's body is the body of Christians. We are the bread. We are the body of Christ. But if somebody were to think that the body is in the bread and then eats the bread, he is eating a sacrifice, according to 1 Corinthians 10. That sacrifice is made to devils. Too cavalier about what you believe. Now, maybe you're not. I hope you're not. We've certainly labored for these years to keep you from being cavalier and casual about doctrinal things. But so many Christians are cavalier. I mentioned last week Hymenaeus, who taught that the resurrection was past already, and so he was turned over to Satan that he may learn not to blaspheme. Well, I know Christians that have, I personally know Christians that have faulty views about the nature of the resurrection and when it should happen and all these things. And I don't wish them dead. I don't wish them judged. I'm not interested in turning them over to Satan.
I'm interested in them not being so casual about things. Not being so cavalier. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. It sounds good to me. You got to do better than that. Too casual about matters of doctrine. The latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Would you even know where to start in discerning a doctrine of devils from the truth? If not, then maybe you've been too cavalier, too casual about your approach to the Bible, about your approach to worship, about your approach to where you're getting taught the Bible. The internet is not always the answer. It's just not. It's just not. Romans 16 says, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them, knowing that they serve the Lord, not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." People are too cavalier about doctrine. They really, really are. Brethren, those Old Testament priests lived in the shadow of the pillar of cloud and fire. They had seen people killed on the instant for transgressing God's laws. They had seen the Egyptians judged. They watched the entire nation of Egyptian soldiers killed at the Red Sea. And in spite of all those judgments, fiery serpents, plagues, fire falling from heaven, and various other things. In one case, the earth opened up and swallowed a whole batch of them. In spite of all that, they still, in those surroundings, became too casual sometimes about how they approached God's stuff. Now, you are at a great disadvantage in some ways because there's things that you have never seen. I have never seen anybody stricken by fire and smitten by God to the ground and left a grease spot right before my very eyes. Some of them did. And brethren, if they can be casual, I know it's a danger for you, because we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm urging you this morning to not be cavalier. Don't go the route of the mainstream. I am not urging us to a formalism or back to legalism or anything like that. I'm not trying to go there. I'm trying to urge you not to be too casual and cavalier and dismissive of holy things. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, we thank you this morning for speaking to us through the Word of God. You've given us abundant examples of what to do and what not to do. And Father, we stand in awe and thinking about comparing ourselves to these men who became too casual in their dealings with Thee, even though they had seen terrible judgments from the very hand of God. Father, many of us have been saved for all these years. We walk by faith and not by sight. There are many signs and wonders that we have not beheld except through the words of the Word of God. And Father, I know if they could become casual in their dealings with Thee, I know that we can. And the truth is, in many cases, that we have. May You restore our vision this morning, Father. If there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ, please help them to see their need for salvation. Maybe they are those that have been given a pass. They said they were saved once. They said they prayed a prayer. They got baptized. They got confirmed. But they're not saved. They never trusted Christ as their Savior. May You deal with their hearts, Father. Help somebody to examine himself here indeed and see that he needs a Savior, not just a profession. Father, we ask for the rest of us that You'll help us to have a holy solemnity and reverence for the things of God, as well as our own personal righteousness and holiness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed just a second. Give you an opportunity to come if you're so inclined. I just urge you not to be flippant. And maybe you're not. And I hope you're not. Flippant doesn't fly well with the Lord. The Lord doesn't do flippant.
that the Lord will judge flippancy. And He'll judge dismissiveness. Cavalier attitudes. Too casual. Too mundane. You serve a holy God, you have a holy Bible. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling your body. You have a holy calling. Take time to be holy. Let's stand if we could. Again, we'll bow our heads and be dismissed this morning. Thank you for being here. We're going to put a sympathy card on the back for Lori, for Patty. So before you leave this morning, if you want to, sign it. Otherwise, make sure you get to it tonight. Be back at 5:30 for a prayer meeting if you want to come for that. 6 o'clock for service. We look forward to seeing you then. Let's pray. Father, we... We're appreciative of Your grace and liberty and mercy towards us. Father, we have lived in great luxury of those matters, those items. Thank You for making it possible that we should be able to be so. Father, we in this building have been spoiled children. You have been so good to us. I pray, Father, You'd not allow that to lull us into a sleep that allows us to transgress in holy things. Make these things real to us, we pray. And we ask Your blessing on our dismissal today. In Jesus' name, amen. Good afternoon. See you tonight, folks.